through. We're going to be considering. Not sure that we're going to be able to look at all of it this morning, and that is okay. As you're reminded, Revelation 12 starts with, as we looked at some weeks ago, the cast of the Great Tribulation. All of the things, all of the individuals, entities that are involved in the Great Tribulation, not really progressing at this point in time in chapters 12 through 16. There are certainly things that are taking place, as we're going to see today. And, you know, as I go through Revelation, there's always those moments of just praying, Lord, just help me to stick with what is clear, right? What Scripture says, and try not to add or subtract anything. I don't want it to be about what I think. I want it to be about what we see Scripture teach us, what it lays out, and we just want to glean from that. And yes, I glean from commentaries and so on to certainly desire to get more clarity and direction there. There's a lot to consider and to understand or to wrestle with within the book of Revelation. This morning we're going to be looking at a portion that, to me, it's pretty clear. I think it's quite clear in my mind of what is being spoke of here, and it makes sense. Reading commentaries and stuff, there's some out there that have a different thought or a different idea with regards to it. And quite frankly, that's probably okay. We're not dealing with salvation issues here. We're not dealing with something that should create great heartburn and division among us. And so I pray that that isn't the case this morning. This is what we see Scripture say, and I have to take it for what it says. And I have no desire to do otherwise. Thus saith the Lord, right? That's what we want to be presented, and that is certainly my heartbeat this morning. The cast of the Great Tribulation. I'm just going to kind of go through probably a verse at a time. Would like to read the whole context here, but I'll read seven. I'll read a few verses here, and then we'll go back and look at that. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the world, the whole world, astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. We're going to stop with those verses for the moment. There is a war that is going to take place, Scripture says, in heaven. In my mind, what we very quickly want to gravitate to, and there would be some that would say, well, this already took place. This is when Satan and demons were cast out of heaven at the beginning, at the fall. But there's too much context in this passage in Revelation 12 to allow me to go there. I really believe what it says here is that there is a war that is going to be waging in heaven in the Great Tribulation that is going to look very similar to what took place back with the fall, Satan being kicked out of heaven. But there's some things that are brought out in this passage that says this is something that is after time and history, and this is actually at the end. And there's, because there's believers in heaven, there's those whom, as it we'll look at here later, whether or not we get to it today, doesn't matter. But the context appears to show that there's going to be another great battle that takes place in heaven. Satan and his demons lose their access to heaven. Point number one, want to take notes, the thought and what Scripture teaches or shows us here is that there is a battle that is going to ensue, and Satan and his demons are going to lose their access to heaven. Revelation 12:7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. The time of this war in heaven was not indicated, but the context refers to the end. And we're going to see that more clearly as we go here. With the context of the verses to follow, it doesn't fit the fall in Genesis. Saints are present in heaven and being accused by Satan. And this is what is going to be this, again, another one of these moments in history when God is going to do another magnificent work that only he can do. And it's another moment of redemption and celebration, which this passage brings out for the believer. There are a lot of great things about the book of Revelation that is to be encouragement to us about what is to come. But as we have been discussing, when we look at the book of Revelation, it brings heartache and it brings great sorrow, or at least it should, to us as followers of Christ, because there are many who are going to be judged for all eternity because of their rejection of Christ. And they're going to go through hell on earth. Many will go through hell on earth and then experience eternity in hell, separated from God. What a horrible condition. But our enemy, Satan, my friends, is not waiting for the future to unleash his wrath, as we're going to see here. He's doing it now. And I would dare say that Corey Kitt was the victim of lies and deception from the pit of hell. These moments, and I'm telling you, one of our employees with Agribest, he covers Wyoming and Montana, and was sharing with my brother here the other day that he has had four of his pretty close friends commit suicide in the last months. I'm telling you, the world is in great confusion, and the enemy is working overtime. Our employee, I don't believe, knows Jesus, but I'm telling you, he's searching. His heart is aching, and he's wondering what is going on, and so we're just praying that Joe is going to come to know Christ as Savior in these days as he's watching friends who are taking their own lives. There is so much desperation, hopelessness, lies and deceptions from the pit of hell, and it is being unleashed more than ever today. And we need to wake up as followers of Christ, one, to be on guard, that we not be a Corey. And this isn't to dish him. I don't know what all was going on in his life, but doesn't your heart just grieve for him? What took him there? Well, I promise you, it wasn't the presence of God in his life. It was lies and deceptions that he was beginning to allow to take root in his heart, in his mind, some way, somehow. I don't know. Was it medical? I don't know. But the reality is that's not the hope, and that's not the joy, and that's not the purpose that God has for you and me for the future. You and I, as followers of Christ in the day in which we live, we have the greatest hope, we have the greatest purpose, we have the greatest joy in living out Christ in a world that is falling to pieces, but we know who we belong to, we know where our power and our strength comes from, we know who we're dependent upon, we know where we're going, and it's something that we can rest in. And we can, every time the old enemy wants to spew lies and deception, Away from me, Satan. And I am standing in the truth. I love Jesus more. I hate your lies and deception, and I love you more, Jesus. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of lies and deception and things, fear, in our world today that the enemy is working overtime in the lives of many people. And it breaks my heart. From what I understand, nobody suspected Corey to do it. Nobody. They didn't see that coming. Oh, my friends, we need to be praying for each other. We need to be in prayer for each other. And we're in a battle. We are in a spiritual battle today like none other. And we have an enemy who wants nothing more to steal, kill, and destroy you and destroy me. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let us remember that. Let us remember that. But it's interesting. There's a battle that's going to come, and it's Michael and his angels. They overpower Satan and his demons. And as we know, as we're going to look here in the following verses, we see that the old enemy is doing his part today in going before the Father and accusing believers, accusing us of sin when we stumble, when we fall. And then, of course, we know not only is he accusing before that he's the great accuser, but praise the Lord, we have an advocate. But we have victory. We have victory now and forever as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not need to live in guilt and shame any longer. It's been paid for through the precious blood of Christ, and we can now walk in victory. Yes, when we sin, it should grieve our heart, and we get our heart right, and we get back on track with him. But we see here that Michael and the angels, his angels, go to battle against Satan. And they overpower him, and he is cast out of heaven. His access to the Father of being our accuser and sitting there and trying to make a case before the Father, but also the ultimate thing that he is able to do today is he has a great influence, if we let him, the enemy, the devil, has a great influence and his demons in our lives if we do not put on the full armor of God and stand firmly in the faith, trusting God, believing truth, and rejecting lies. He is very active and alive today, working against you and me. As we're going to see in the context of this passage, there comes a time when he is going to be set aside for 1,000 years. And he will be bound, and he isn't going to have that freedom and that opportunity to discourage and to plant seeds of discord and lies and deception. He's going to be bound up for 1,000 years, but that's coming. That's not now. So that day's coming, and he's not going to have the ability, and he's not going to be accusing us anymore before the Father. But what he is doing right now is an all-out assault to do all he can to keep as many as he can, one, from living a victorious Christian life. And unfortunately, so many believers are falling to that. And guard your heart. Dean, guard your heart that you don't be one of them. Guard your heart and your mind. But praise the Lord, the power that we have through Christ and his angels, right? Michael and his angels, representing the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we have power and strength through the Lord. And Satan ultimately is overpowered. We see this moment, and he's cast out of heaven, and he's no longer able to have access, direct access, to do these accusations against us. Satan is hurled out of heaven. Revelation 12:9, the great dragon was hurled down, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and the angels and his angels with him. He will no longer have access to the throne of God to bring accusations against believers. He is the great accuser, and that's what he's doing today. He wants nothing more. And of course, everything that he presents to the Father is it's on deaf ears. We'll learn more about that. He's just, It's gibberish. It has no value. It has no worth. It has no truth to it, because those who know Christ as Savior have been bought and paid for with the precious blood of Christ. We have victory through Him and Him alone. And there is nothing that Satan can do to us ultimately, except for what we allow him to do, what power we allow him to have in our life. We've been given victory over him. Why do we keep giving in to him? I asked myself that. I was encouraged. Troy, early this morning, sent me a video of something that was it's so encouraging. Again, our victory, our hope is found in Christ and Christ alone. And it's like, man, put our thoughts upon those truths. And we, more than ever today, we have to be doing that. Because I'm telling you, the enemy is at war. And he is going to take out whoever he can. It just grieves my heart. I don't know what the statistics are for suicides currently, but it's through the roof. It's crazy what's going on, the brokenness that is going on in our world today. My friends, we have hope and we have life, and it's through Jesus. He will no longer have access to the throne. We see that in verse 10. Well, he's a liar and a deceiver. We've mentioned this many a times through this study already, but in John 10:10, just want to remind you, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. My friends, the enemy wants nothing more. He's not just, for those that don't know Christ, he doesn't have to work too hard. He's got them right where he wants them, right? They're lost and dead in their sin. They're hopeless. But he's working overtime with us, with the body of Christ, because he wants to diminish the influence of Christ in us to a lost and dying world. He doesn't want us to have light. He doesn't want us to have hope and peace in the day in which we live. He is a liar and a thief. John 8:44 says, "You belong to your father, the devil. You want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him." Satan is such a thug, and his enemies. And I'm telling you, my friends, remember where your battle is. Our battle ultimately is not against government. It's not against people. It's against the principalities, the powers of the air, and those who have been, who are being controlled by it. Right? Your father is either Satan or Christ. Who is your father? When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. This is a topic that we have to keep being reminded of as we go through the book of Revelation. This is the battle that we're in, and I'm telling you, the major battle is a-coming, for sure. And God is going to make everything right in the end. 1 Peter 5:8, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. He was hurled to earth to inflict much chaos and destruction. We see this here in this passage. In verse 5, the woman fled into the desert, a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for let me just start in verse 7 again. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. And then we see at in the portion of scripture to follow here, we see some things that that give clarity of why I believe, that this is not something that happened in the past, but this is actually a battle that's going to happen here in the future. And we are going to pick that up next week. I want to do justice to the following verses here, because there is some important things to glean from this that is of eternal value for our future, but not only for the future, but for now, for us to understand the victory that we have. And that's what's proclaimed here in these following verses, the victory that is found, you and I have it, and it's found in Christ and Him alone. You and I have hope, we have purpose, we have meaning. The enemy wants to tell you a different story, and he wants you to believe it. And it should grieve our heart. I was challenged this last week, listened to our message here that Pastor Joel shared, and it was a fantastic encouragement. Listened to it online, but then I also went to my brother's and sister-in-law's church in Billings there, and he was preaching through the book of Jude, the pastor was, and just the reminder that is given at the end of Jude as a great reminder for us today. As we think about what we need to cling to, in Jude 24 and 25, to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all generations, now and forevermore. To him who is able to keep you from falling. Do you believe that God is able to keep you from falling into the lies and the deceptions of the enemy? Who's bigger? Do you believe that the God that you worship and that you follow, that you serve, is bigger and able to carry you through and keep you from falling flat on your face and in death and destruction and hopelessness? And we are all capable of it if we don't keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus. But he is able to keep you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. My friends, I'm thankful for the challenges that were brought to us from the book of Revelation of what's going to come and so on. But boy, it's not something that's just to come. There's some things for us to learn about right now of the battle that we are in. Let us find ourselves walking in victory with Jesus victoriously, right? Let us be praying for each other. Let us be reaching out to each other. Appreciate Randy's exhortation to us as a body this morning. And there's others, right? Just remember to keep each other in prayer. These are important days. And I'll tell you, the enemy is working overtime to do what he can to destroy you. I promise you. Would you stand with me as we close? Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Lord, it's interesting to consider the things to come. And that, Lord, the old enemy at the moment, he's got opportunity to continue to come before you and to be accusing us. And Lord, you just continue to tell him to all who have been saved and redeemed through the shed blood of Christ, they are forgiven and have life, and you have nothing to do with them, Satan. And for it, he continued, for Jesus to continue to be our advocate, reminding Satan of what he has done on our behalf that gives us victory. But also, Lord, to know that we live in a day and an age in which not only is the enemy accusing us before the Father, but he is doing all he can to deceive and destroy and to kill. And he has that opportunity that freedom to do that today. Lord, we do look forward to the fact of the millennium and what's to come, and that time of 1,000 years of Satan being bound in his demons, and that opportunity is not there, and there will be no lies and deception from the pit of hell. How amazing that will be, and we're going to get to enjoy that in your kingdom for 1,000 years. But Lord, help us to remember the battle we are in today. Help us to walk faithfully with you. Great courage. You are our strength, our hope, our joy, our salvation, forgiveness, peace, and hope come only through you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for this time in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You're dismissed.